Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me today for the 12th episode of Ulcerative Colitis and My J-Poach Journey, where I talk about ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, bowel cancer, ostomies, and J-Poaches. My name is Suzanne LaFleur. I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis in 1995, and I had a complete colectomy with J-Poach anastomosis from 2005 to 2006. For those of you who have followed from the beginning, thank you. For those of you who are joining me for the first time today, please help me to continue the conversation by hitting that subscribe button and sharing me on your social media. Let's continue the conversation about gastrointestinal diseases and to support one another through our seldom talked about journeys. Holy cow, I just realized, well, I didn't realize, I knew I kind of fell off the map for a little bit. I would suspect that the majority of my listeners who have ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, any autoimmune illness that cause you to not be able to cope very well when those moments in your life get so busy and crazy and you have other responsibilities, you have no choice but to just focus on what's right in front of you, which for me was a son who became quite ill with ulcerative colitis himself, unfortunately. However, he is a warrior. He is my absolute hero. The hand he has been dealt is not going to be an easy one for him in his life. However, he is rocking it, and I am so very proud of him. Anyway, I am back. I've been looking through my podcasts for the past 3 years, I believe it is, and I've realized that I moved on to speaking with people from all over the world about their J-Poach journeys, and I kind of fell off the map talking about my experience. For those of you who are just joining, I am a 30-year Crohn's and colitis veteran. I was diagnosed when I was 23. That will be 30 years in February. That is absolutely crazy. So I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis when I was 23 years old, and I received a total colectomy with J-Poach anastomosis when I was 33. I realized that my podcast discussed the first surgery when I had my total colectomy, and it discussed Rosie and my ileostomy and my relationship with her. I've discussed different aspects of why you should end up or could end up with a J-Poach or an ileostomy. The third surgery is not something I believe that I've discussed, and I have to say that honestly, once I was into my third surgery, things were a bit of a blur. I remember kind of going into it a little bit numb, a little bit detached, disconnected from what was actually going on. It was almost like my body went into this, okay, we just need to get over this hump and then everything will be okay. Okay, we're like three surgeries in to, you know, a total of four, and then you're going to get your life back. And I do recall the after my surgery being very difficult, being very exhausted. Again, I was dealing with four children. I was not incredibly well supported by my then spouse. I felt like I was trudging it alone. And to be honest, I do not know how I got through the whole thing. However, unfortunately, this is the way that I had to cope. I believe I just had to become Wonder Woman. I just had to become this person who just continued to be resilient and remained strong and just kind of kept my eye on that. I'm almost there. I'm almost there, Ball. I may as well speak of my last two surgeries together because I feel like it all melded into one on the 18th of August anyway, and my last surgery was on the 31st of August. My daughter was double bounced on the trampoline and she ended up with a fracture in her growth plate in her foot. And we lived at the time in a small town 2 hours away from the hospital, and she was sent by ambulance to the hospital and required surgery on her foot. So this is August 18th. What is that? 13 days before my last surgery. So needless to say, I was a little bit preoccupied with other things going on. All four kids were starting school. My baby was going into grade one. And I didn't really have time to get nervous or worry or focus on what it meant for me, what the surgery would entail. Would it be difficult? I didn't do any reading regarding how I would feel afterwards. And I feel like sometimes ignorance is bliss, honestly. Had I known what was going to transpire, I probably would have chickened out. And I'm not saying this intending to chicken any of you out, because the end result of having my surgeries was much better than dealing with ulcerative colitis itself. Now I'm able to travel. I do have to plan my whole life still around food and when I can eat, when I can't eat, how my J-pouch is that day, etc. However, I do feel much better than I did prior to my surgeries. My final surgery, which is called takedown, I ended up in a position where I was like, whoa, I am right back to square one. I remember lying on the bathroom floor with a blanket and a pillow and paper towel between my cheeks because everything was on fire, and I'd been back in the bathroom 25 times and it was like I was passing pure acid, and it was just the most horrific feeling after not having gone to the bathroom that way for 10 months. I had an ileostomy for 10 months. So it had given my body a rest, but that disruption of rest was absolutely horrifying and a nightmare. I did at times just pray for my ostomy back, which is crazy. I feel like for myself now, I would deal with it very well. I think I would be able to cope with it. But back then, I don't know. It was maybe a little bit of an arrogant body image thing, but the thought of it was just too much for me. It was just like, this is not manageable. This being in the bathroom again and what have you. So for many weeks, I lived in the bathroom. I went from the toilet to the tub, back to the toilet. Now, my understanding in this day and age, a lot of people who go through J-pouch surgery are encouraged to get a bidet. Like, where the heck was a bidet when I was going through this? I don't even know. However, I definitely would have had one at that time. I just recall not being able to leave home for any extended period of time. I did end up getting a new puppy at about the 3 week to 1 month mark. So I feel like that's approximately when I felt that I was able to leave the house. Like I said, I was living in the washroom. Soon as something went into my mouth, it was out the other end. Again, only so much more painful because of this, what we have termed, us J-pouchers, as butt burn. It was freaking awful. It was going from the toilet to the tub to the toilet to bed, back to the tub to the toilet. This was approximately, a month, 3 weeks to a month of just, what the heck have I done? However, once that stage of initial takedown was over and I started to learn how to manage my J-pouch, I guess I started engaging different muscles, which I now call the clench. I started engaging different muscles. I started to learn how to hold my stool when I needed to, which sometimes was absolutely impossible. And still to this day, it just depends on the day. And I did have a friend who got me a 10 session of yoga. So I went right back to yoga and explained to the yoga instructor what had gone on, what surgeries I'd had. And she changed all the exercises so that I wasn't damaging my incision. So I wasn't damaging anything, but getting back out there and just tightening my core, working on my pelvic floor muscles and what have you really helped with not having any leakage, being able to have control, being able to manage that on a day-to-day. By February, was feeling well enough that we actually went on our first family vacation in a very long time. So that would have been in 2007. We took the kids to Mexico, and I was actually able to enjoy myself. I had gained some weight. I was a little plump, which was kind of nice. I enjoyed, you know, the odd alcoholic beverage, which with a J-pouch is probably not the best idea. However, I had lived around my disease for so long and couldn't even take a sip of wine that I was like, you know what? I'm going to live my life this vacation. We had a really good time as a family. So this was what, August to February is 6 months. So 6 months later, I was traveling. I knew when I came home that I was coming home to a part-time job in an optometry clinic that I had landed just before I left, which, I mean, I had tried to work throughout my illness, and I will do an episode on that experience when my boys were little, which was absolutely wonderful, yet earth-shattering and devastating at the same time. I started to feel, month six, that I started to feel quote unquote normal, started to feel like I had my energy back, started to feel self-confident. I started to feel like I was able to start planning for a future for myself, for a career, you know, just being the healthiest me that I could be. And so I came home, started working at the optometry clinic. I did that, became a supervisor in the glasses section, became a supervisor, I think just all around. And I did that for a couple of years. Then I managed a power tone company of all things in central Alberta, managing oil field workers, like rig guys, which I really enjoyed. It's very challenging and very, very taxing on my body and my mind. But I did that for, I think, about a year and a half. And then I decided that I needed to make a change for myself, mostly when it came to do with my marriage, because that had been falling apart for years and years and years. And I chose to find my own destination with my children, and we moved to Kelowna, where it is we live now, and this is the longest I've been anywhere, made a home here. And fast forward, what is it now, like 19 years, it'll be in November since I had my first surgery, which is crazy. And I have gone to nursing school, become a nurse, nursed for 7 years till I realized that really wasn't keeping me healthy in my body. Nursing is a very taxing job. And let's face it, I didn't go into that career as a spring chicken, considering I went to school when I was 39. They called me grandma in class. But I guess my reason for doing this podcast is to remind you Crohn's and colitis warriors, not sufferers, because we are not suffering. We are suffering. However, when you keep on the positive side of life, you become a warrior. You keep your eye on that healthy body and that healthy person, and you make sure you get yourself there. My reason for this podcast is to remind all of you out there that there is life after the surgeries. There is the possibility of a positive outcome, staying on the positive side of life throughout. And I'm telling you, my J-pouch journey hasn't been easy either. I've ended up in the hospital for severe pouchitis, where I was put on IV steroids and IV antibiotics. I have ended up with such a terrible flare that was missed for some reason for months and months and months. And I ended up with an anal fistula in surgery for a seton stitch. I had a seton stitch hanging out my tush for 10 months. This was all the while I was nursing and taking care of other people, I might add. So it's not like it's been a super easy journey. I ended up having to leave my nursing career because these things wouldn't stop happening. And I had the option of just continuing to beat myself up and, you know, like push myself through and just get sicker and sicker. I had the option to put myself first and have them find me an easier and more realistic job within the nursing career, which they didn't do. So now I am on long-term disability. This doesn't mean that I have stopped trying to find something that I can manage that will keep me healthy. This doesn't mean that I'm just sitting back and not trying to better my life or improve my life or challenge myself or set goals. It just means that that particular career was not meant for me, and I was not willing to stay in something that continued to make me more and more and more unwell. Similar to my journey as a mom who was unsupported. You know, I think back to then, and support is very important when you're fighting a chronic illness. And had I just gone, you know what, this isn't working, and I'd moved home with my family or whatever have you for that support, maybe I wouldn't be in the position that I am now, colonless and what have you. And I'm not crying the blues whatsoever. I just, you know, you end up kind of looking at your life and going, wow, I just jumped on that hamster wheel and just ran to save my life. And I didn't really think in the moment what was best for me, what I could have done to improve things, to take care of myself. And now that I am on long-term disability and I have that pause and that time in my life to go, okay, first number one goal is to stay healthy. Because without a healthy body and a healthy spirit and a healthy mind, how do we become the best people that we can be? So that is essentially my life in a nutshell since third and fourth surgeries. And I continue to have conversations with people who are struggling a bit through their J-pouch journey. I have a few people that now I'm going to bring into the conversation again to talk about their journeys and discuss how they've stayed positive, discuss their, you know, the hardships and the things that they've struggled through and how they've come to be where they are. And I believe I've been put on this earth to talk about what we've been through. So many people just think it's wrong or disgusting or whatever have you to talk about intestines and poop. And more people in this world, I'm learning. I always thought that I was alone in this journey, and I always thought that I'm the only person in the world with a J-pouch. And it's incredibly crazy how many people there are who have ostomies, J-pouches, young, old. I was told when I was diagnosed that Crohn's disease, colitis, is an old people's disease. Well, I'm telling you, I have a friend who has a son who is young, like 8, going through a lot of the same thing. So it is not an old people's disease anymore. And it is time that somebody started talking about this publicly. It is time that somebody starts normalizing the fact, you know, is normalizing the right word? Making it known that the person sitting right beside you could have an ostomy, that the person sitting right beside you could have Crohn's disease or colitis, and they are, you know, maybe haven't had a meal in the last couple of days because their stomach is just not handling anything, or they've been in the bathroom all night long and still trying to get through their day of work. You know, I as a nurse was in a city not far from where I live because I was working in a couple of little different towns when I first became a nurse, just to be able to get enough seniority and find a stable job, a permanent job in the town that I live in. And the subject of ostomy care came up, and the RN, who I used to be friends with and I do not talk with anymore, had the audacity to say out loud, "Ew, that's disgusting." And I looked at her, I turned and I looked at her and I said, "What did you say?" And she repeated it. She said, "I think ostomies are disgusting." And I said, and mind you, this was, you have to remember, this was 2012, I believe. However, still completely wrong as an RN of, I think she had been an RN for 30 years or so at the time. And I said, "How do you know I am not sitting here with an ostomy and you have just devastated me as a human being? I cannot believe that just came out of your mouth." And it just goes to show the ignorance of some people and the non-understanding of what brought a person to need an ostomy. Do you think people were brought into this life to, you know, be like, "Oh, someday I would like to have an ostomy"? You know, when you know somebody, or you find out of somebody or whatever, if you're a nurse or in the healthcare field, I had another nurse when I was a student nurse who absolutely devastated a young man. He was 31 years old, this beautiful human being who had been suffering with Crohn's for ulcerative colitis for the majority of his life. And he ended up in a position where he had to make the choice to have an ostomy. And I'm not sure whether that ever became an ostomy and then a J-pouch. And if I were the person I am now, not this timid little, you know, I was 39 years old, but I was still learning and I was, you know, not sure of the therapeutic relationship between a nurse and a human being. And as my nursing career evolved, there's no way I would have kept quiet. However, this RN was absolutely brutal to this young man. And I just remember pulling her aside and saying, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" To this day, I wish I would have gone in and spoken to him myself and said, "Look, this is what I went through. This is what I went through. And, you know, I'm going to say out loud what the scenario was, because maybe if he's out there and he's listening, I can apologize to him for not going and talking to him that day." As a student nurse, it was summer of 2012. I was working on the surgical unit. He had just had his surgery to have an ostomy. And this long brown hair, beautiful girl, tall, you know, like fit, fake eyelashes. And she walked into his room and was proceeding to do ostomy care on him because he had not learned the procedure yet himself. And his ostomy burped, and for lack of better words, it farted, and she got poop on herself, on her scrubs. And instead of being like, you know, that happens, it happens, it's okay, she absolutely grossed out in front of him, was like, oh my God, that's disgusting. She came out into the hallway and very loudly was professing how disgusting it was and how somebody needed to take over his care because she had to go shower and change. And it was the most horrifying scene that I have ever seen from a nurse, I think, throughout my entire nursing career. And that prompted me to wait until she calmed down, and I approached her and said, what the fuck is wrong with you? You have just destroyed that man. The day before he had come out of his surgery, I heard him talking on the phone with a friend or a family member. He was positive. He was, there was a light in his voice, and he was in that place where he, you could tell he was like, this is my next step to being healthy and being well. And the next day he wouldn't speak with anyone. He wouldn't allow anyone to do his care. She absolutely destroyed him. And I could not believe the difference that one selfish, ignorant human being could have on somebody's soul. And I hope she's listening. I really hope you're listening, whoever you were, because I am so sorry that I didn't go talk to you. I'm so sorry that I didn't connect with you as a soul and as a human and reassure you, because I'm telling you, after that day, anytime I have sat on many bedsides and spoken to many people who have had ostomies or gone through the surgery or whatever and told them my story, and I'm very, very sorry that I didn't do that for you. I think I could have made a bit of a difference and picked you up from wherever she dropped you, and I apologize for that. Anyhow, I think that I will leave this podcast on that note, just about being human. And if you have somebody in your life who is going through the surgeries or who has Crohn's or colitis and they're hurting and they are struggling, be that light in their life. Be that person who points out the beautiful things and takes them for walks and sits with them and watches a movie and holds their hand and encourages them and supports them. Be that person that makes their journey a little less hard. I had very good friends in my life, but to say that I had that one person who was there holding my hand, unfortunately, most of the time it was my children. So be the light for whoever it is in your life that might be going through the same thing. And for yourself, if you're going through it, find the light every day. Find that silver lining every day. Open your eyes and say to yourself, this is going to be a good day. This day, I will feel better. And I'm sorry. Our journeys. Excuse me. I don't want to pause this. Our journeys are not easy. Give yourself grace. Give yourself grace. Be your own power. Choose to be resilient. Choose to brighten your soul. If you need support, if you would like to drop me an email, if you would like to tell your story, I would love to be your avenue to be able to tell your story. My email is SuzanneLLafleur@gmail.com. That is SuzanneLLaf, F as in Frank, LEUR @gmail.com.